Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Humans, after 12 years, we have parted ways with the corporate networks. We are taking it to the next level with our own independent platform, ImprovForHumans.com. We're not just continuing the show. We have created a hub for you all to go deeper into the craft of improv with me, Brett, and all the guests that you love so much from Improv for Humans, along with a ton of new exclusive podcasts and content. Not only will you still find new ad-supported episodes available free every week, as always, but now, with our new Rule of Four subscription, only $40 for a year, $4 a month, you get ad-free new episodes every week with bonus scene, exclusive access to the entire back catalog. That's over 600 episodes, all ad-free. 4 brand new improv education podcasts I call Professor Besser, where I will break down classic Improv for Human scenes, take questions from the members-only Discord, explore, debate the craft with other improv experts. Have you heard me talk with Will Hines and Ian Roberts yet? And I have also uploaded my vault of VHS tapes from the Stone Ages, the 90s, the early aughts, featuring tons of never seen footage, as well as what I believe to be the greatest comedy movies that I will share with you with other guests. Sketches, performances, stand-up bits. Wait till you see this all on Professor Besser. Plus, I have this whole other feed, The Best Taste in the Universe, where I deep dive with guests on music and sci-fi. On that, just whole separate feed, but it's all part of the Rule of Four subscription. Plus, you get all 4 of our premium limited series Brett and I made with all-star casts, including Stolen Idea, My Dead Wife, The Robot Car, The States of Perfection, and Besser versus the Audience. And for the first time ever, all of our content can be listened to virtually any podcast app. Gone are the days of needing separate apps to get all this stuff. The sign-up process could not be easier. It just takes one step, one tap to import each of our feeds into your app, and then you can just listen like any other show. All this for $4 a month individually, or $40 for an entire year. That's 2 months of savings. Humans, $40 for 1 year right now. Humans, you know, leaving the corporate network I mentioned earlier, that makes producing a podcast with 3 paid guests not as easy, but it is a labor of love for Brett and I. By subscribing, not only are you allowing us to make new episodes, you're supporting our ensemble and empowering all sorts of new content that's already up for you to take a taste of. Just for $4, go taste it, humans. If nothing else, you won't have to hear this message again. So go to improvforhumans.com and sign up now.
Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features human guests.
Mr. Conroy, Mr. Secunda, welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That is me, Brett. That is Pegboy covering
Naked
Reagan.
That's cool. It's very surfy.
I like it. Is that a new theme?
No, but we'll have to see about licensing that. No, we play a different new song every week is how we're rolling these days.
Oh, love it.
Okay, humans, these two old school improvisers, experts in the craft, did they watch the Emmys last night?
Bits and pieces, to be honest. I didn't watch the whole thing, and much of the time it was on mute. But the parts I watched, I sort of enjoyed.
I didn't watch any.
You didn't watch it at all.
I'm not a showbiz professional.
What are you doing instead?
I played Spider-Man.
You played Spider-Man.
I thought the Spider-Man game had made me nauseous, and so I hadn't played it for a long time. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to whatever. And then I was like, oh. No. I was like, well, this is clearly I should not be a web slinger. I get nauseous even from the video game.
Hold on. Let's do something on that. Honey, I just don't think you should try it. Last time you got major vertigo and had to go to the doctor.
The city needs me, honey.
Well, it does it. The video game.
Yes.
You want to play it, but
well, I mean,
it's affecting your real life.
I look. You know how sensitive I am, and the people in this yes. fake city are in desperate need of a hero, and with great consoles come great responsibility.
Mom and Dad.
Hi, honey.
Is it okay for me to be out of bed this late? Because I wanted to ask you about something.
What is it, Ryan?
There's a boy at school who keeps taking my lunch money.
Oh, it's still happening? Is it that same boy from last semester?
Yes, it's the same boy from last semester. And then there's another boy who, after the first boy takes the money now, he goes, go get more. And I have to find ways to bring more money to school.
Andrew, you said you were going to do something about this.
Ryan, I'm so sorry. Can you just please step just 2 feet to your left? I'm trying to get to Kingpin's hideout, and you're kind of just blocking the corner of the screen here.
That's just shoe leather. Would you pay attention to your son? He's having a real life problem. Last time he had this problem, you said you're going to go meet with the dad, but that's when you had vertigo and you were in bed for 3 weeks.
Well, when you swing around this city, it's hard to kind of get your sense of which way's up and which way's down. It looks easy in the movies, but when you're playing this, it's like you're there, you know? And so I actually don't feel that great right now.
I feel like a member of the oppressed proletariat. I wish someone could stand up and defend me against these other boys.
Are you like this child here on the screen, sweetheart? Do you feel like him? Look, he's looking for his mother.
Yes, I'm just looking for any kind of support, not a particular person.
And we cut to the real life soccer game that weekend. There he is. That's the family with the bully boy. Go talk to his dad right now.
All right. I'll try.
I mean, you'll try. It's easy. He's there. Go speak to him. Say, stop bullying our son. Do you want me to do it?
I don't like confrontation, and I'm playing the Switch, and it's
pretend he's Kingpin. Does that help you?
I noticed you folks looking over here. You got some kind of problems or something?
Look, your son has apparently been harassing my son.
I don't know what harassing is, but I know my son goes out in the world, makes his own way, gets his own stuff done. So why don't you move along there, fella?
I'm just gonna
move
be straight
along.
With you.
We're watching the game like you are.
Yeah, well, why don't you move along to another part of the stands, huh?
I'm going to be straight with you. If your son doesn't stop bothering my son, then you and I are going to have a problem. And I'm not afraid of you. I don't care how much bigger and wider you are than me.
Oh, I'm 6'8", 400 pounds.
All right. That's very large. But you can't. I'm wily. I'm as quick
that night in
as
bed,
a spider.
You're damn right I want to have sex with you. That game is really giving you confidence. It's my third orgasm.
I'm sorry, vertigo again.
Let's talk some more about that.
But seriously, when I watch the Emmys, my wife enjoys watching the Emmys a lot. What about you, Brett?
Yeah, Dana always watches all those award shows.
Award shows.
So I did catch a good bit of the Emmys last night.
Yeah. So The Bear, Succession, and Beef.
The Bear wins for Best Comedy, which I find...
Okay, go for it, Sean. This is what I was getting to. Go.
Oh, okay.
Say it. Say it. Speak.
It's not a funny show. It's Speak an intense, nerve-wracking thing. It's... I don't think, well, to be fair, I didn't watch season two, but season one, I never laughed once. I just, you know, I liked it a lot, but I wasn't like, oh, this is hilarious. You know,
well, Sean, season one is really all set up for the punchlines.
Well, that's a whole other issue that's happening now with television, where everything is like episode after episode of, no, we're going to get to the good part halfway through season two, you know?
Wait a minute. Speak on frustration as a comedy writer, as a sitcom writer on The Bear taking those accolades.
Well, here, this is, you know, 100% my own opinion, completely uninformed. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I think writing comedy is in many ways much more difficult than writing drama. Because not only do you have to have an interesting story, you have to surprise people with jokes and punchlines and all that kind of stuff.
You also got to come up with more silly wigs and concepts for
sure. Like
falls.
Your, you know, what mustache is somebody wearing, all that kind of stuff. But so for a show to not have jokes and be touted as a comedy, then I'm like, what am I working so hard for? Why don't I just write something straight? You know,
the interesting thing is sort of, I assume you guys have experienced this too, is over the arc of my career, most of the time I want to do like genre hybrid stuff and, you know, but do it in a half hour format that's primarily a comedy. And people have resisted that up until the moment of the streaming era. So they wouldn't let you sort of make it be like, this is going to have a little bit more action. It's going to have a little bit more sci-fi. It's going to have a little bit more drama, but it's basically going to be a comedy. And then it's done this hard shift where now it's like the drama is in the comedy slot. It has fully bumped out the comedy.
Mm-hmm. It's a bummer, right?
Yeah.
That's our craft.
It's true.
It doesn't feel like, and then there's this bizarre late night Emmy where it's the same four or five white dudes every time. I guess Trevor Noah beat that trend this year, but it's bizarre how there's one award for basically four shows. There seems to be another award that's just for SNL. So that covers all that type of comedy. Uh-huh. And then sitcoms don't... That's not a word anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So a situational comedy.
Yeah.
So now it's half hours. Or elements
right.
of
it's just
comedic.
It's, if a show is a half hour long, that makes it a sitcom as opposed to a half hour long drama or something like that, or even a dramedy, you know.
And the essential thing that drives in the perception of any awards audience or sort of the people selecting it is not how good is this thing at what it's doing. It's always how important is this thing. And so, you know, it's just, it's a much harder equation to win. Even if you're hilarious and you're making great points that are important, it's just never going to be perceived that way in terms of
importance. We cut to a ice cream store that's been in the neighborhood for about a month and a half. I don't exactly understand it either. Maybe we don't see the full menu. Excuse me?
Yes, yeah. Can I help you?
Oh, yes.
Sorry, boss.
No. You take it. No, Dan, you're new. It's great. I love that you're taking the initiative. Please handle this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm buying ice cream for, I got a whole table of kids out there. I don't see any actual ice cream on the menu. I'm seeing like when I'm reading the descriptions of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so am I not seeing the main menu?
Well,
use my phone or something?
Well, it's called an ice cream store, as I understand it, and you know, it's Jeffrey's ice cream, but it's
you have scoop symbols.
Yes, there's a lot of iconography of ice cream, but we wanted to branch out and
I'm sorry, just hold on.
Yeah, I'm just trying. Yes, I'll get it.
We want ice cream, Dad.
Look, there. It's a bunch of 8-year-olds. I just need vanilla, whatever the hell. Just 8 scoops of vanilla, and we're cool. Okay, or chocolate, whatever is easiest.
Okay, we don't have any vanilla ice cream, and we don't have any chocolate ice cream. We don't have any chocolate ice cream. No. Well, we have a lobster flavored foam.
Okay, stop it.
Mm-hmm. That's we feel what like I that
a foam Jeffrey, in a cup that's real.
Jeffrey decided he wanted to branch out and he wanted to do different things in the ice cream
hold on
space.
Hold on,
he's telling about something branching out. I already tried Boss. Vanilla
Danny peed on the floor.
That's your territory.
Okay. Do you have like a lemon sorbet? Is this what this is? It's like a gelato sorbet.
I think I understand what you're asking.
Italian
for.
Ice, whatever you whatever you call it. Just 8 of those scoop in a cup. I don't see cones.
We have a fig salsa that has a certain sweetness to it, although there is a wine reduction in it.
I heard you're new here, and I know new people sometimes start the weird end of the specials. Mm-hmm. I'm here for the ice cream.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Danny. I need you to tell people that we are out of the buffalo wing pops. So if you could just make that clear to everybody, so we don't get a lot of orders, because that's one of the favorites,
sir.
Certainly, sir.
Yes. Are you the manager?
I'm the owner. I manage.
this is Jeffrey.
I heard you branched out from something. Was that something ice cream? Because I need to get back to the roots, the trunk of maybe where you started. Because I got kids out there. They don't want reductions of wine and buffalo wing anything.
I sense a certain criticism and hostility. But let me just say this. you know, sure, ice cream is fine, and if you want sort of an average, pedestrian, ordinary thing, feel free to go to, I don't know, Carvel or Baskin and Robbins. But
they don't have a franchise. I wish they
would. You stop it. They don't even have it.
Sir, What dessert do you have here? Just sir, 8 of those.
If you want to go to a non James Beard winning ice cream store, then you can feel free to.
What's the James Beard Award?
It's one of the most prestigious restaurant awards in the nation.
We actually go around to other restaurants and give them non James Beard Award winning certificates, but so far no one's hung them up.
Okay, man. Anyway, this is like a trap. You guys, this is bullshit. This is like some fucking bait and switch. You can't call something an ice cream store and there's no goddamn ice cream
in here.
All right,
let me suggest, because I know I get this sometimes. People come in and they're obtuse and they don't understand the way the world works and, you know, ignorant. But I try to educate them and say there are other things outside the sort of ice cream realm that... So let me suggest we do have... A grapefruit compote with crudité. Does that sound like something your children might like?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let us catch up.
Brett, have I told the peach cobbler reduction story on this podcast before about Danielle?
I don't remember it. I mean, it sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't know.
Not when I was here.
I had to tell it because it made me laugh so fucking hard. And Sydney was there too. But we were at what I guess was supposed to be a fancy restaurant. And it was dessert time. And Danielle saw something. I don't think it's had the word cobbler in it. It had the word peach in it. So in it, but it had the word reduction, not reduction.
Deconstructed?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she goes and she looked through the menu and I always just get chocolate mousse or whatever the fuck is closest.
Brett was the waiter that night, by the way.
Yeah. Watch your words.
And you know, Sydney, she gets ice cream. She gets a scoop of regular ice cream. I get something like a tur. I get whatever I fucking recognize, basically. And Danielle loves peach cobbler. And she's like, what is this peach? Deconstructed peach, blah, 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 blah. And then what he described, I don't even know what the fuck he described, but it did not sound like a peach cobbler. But she wanted peach cobbler so much, she just heard ba 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 in her head. She just pictured a nice peach cobbler with a scoop of ice cream.
She pictured the waiter as a peach cobbler.
Yeah, right, pretty
like
much.
In the cartoon.
And then he delivers. When he delivers it, it was fucking so far from being a peach
cobbler. Did it have the ingredients?
Yeah, basically. I can't remember what it was, but it was like a slice of peach and
it was like a full
a twig
uncut
of lime
and all the
and she the just flour. Looked at it and Sydney was mocking her. We were like, he did not say it was a peach cobbler. You just wanted it to be. He described something that was absolutely not a peach cobbler. And you went, that sounds great.
We've completely deconstructed it. Here are the water molecules, the H2O, and here's the sugar, C6H12O6. We've taken it all apart.
Yeah, let's do that. Honey, you've never eaten here before. Just let him tell a special. I'm sorry, we've heard you had fancy desserts and we're just a little intimidated. I don't want to just get an ice cream or anything. So go ahead.
Yes. Well, we do things a little differently here. By the way, I'm Brett. I'll be your waiter tonight.
it's weird for us to have you introduce the dessert specials first, but we heard you do things a little different. Restaurant.
Yeah. So our dessert special tonight is a steak frites with a side of pesto mayonnaise.
So, okay. Okay. Do you think that, I think maybe this do everything backwards. Okay, that sounds good. That sounds interesting. What do you have for dessert? Or what do you have for, yeah, what do you have for our entrees?
Oh, for dinner. For, yes. Well, here's the menu. And as you can see, we do have a tiramisu, a reconstructed peach cobbler, which we get from the restaurant next door and then put back together. And we have fruit salad. Yes.
So you get the elements from next door. Is that what happens? And then they do a
deconstructed peach cobbler, and no one particularly cares for it. So they have lots of leftovers. So we have a deal with them where we take their deconstructed peach cobbler and we put it back together.
And we cut to the next day where the manager is interviewing new So I see you haven't had many waiting jobs, but you did. You were an intern for a summer on an archaeology dig.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. We found ancient items. We would protect them for the.
Did you put
the
pots back together, anything like that? Shards of pots.
Well, as best we could. Yes, we protected it and we assembled them, and for presentation. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
You ever put pies back together? You ever find an old pie that's fallen apart?
You mean like one that's sort of been sort of crystallized or, hardened over time and...
Not necessarily hardened, just, I don't know. You're going through some trash, you see a bunch of pies have been not eaten. You're like, maybe I can put one of these broken up pies together into a full pie for myself. You ever done that?
I'm just trying to find some work outside of my chosen field. I'm not sure if you're having a laugh at me or what's happening.
No. You see, this is what we do. We reconstruct a lot of the foods from the restaurants that surround us on the block. So we don't necessarily have line chefs. We have reconstructors. We do have some former.
I have a lot of questions. Are there that many restaurants that are serving just deconstructed elements of dishes before?
No. You can have a turkey, anything that falls apart that you put back together.
Mm-hmm. Why would you cook the thing, make the thing, and then deconstruct the thing? Why not?
You know what, buddy? I don't think you're going to work out here. We cut to one of the nicest bars in town. All his friends are working on that reconstruction line, and they have a shit ton of money from it. Yeah, another round on me. Hey, man, did you get that job today? How'd the interview go?
I didn't realize how much it paid. I kind of was walking through it. I thought it was just a regular gig.
No, you don't get tips on the reconstruction line. So he pays $50 an hour. It's fucking
Jesus
nice.
Jesus Christ, I had no idea. You guys didn't tell me that. I thought it was just a waiting gig.
What do you mean just a waiting gig, man? We also can eat reconstructed lobsters and good shit.
Why? I still don't understand why someone is deconstructing them just so you can reconstruct them. It seems like an extra step for no reason.
Why do you always got so many questions, Gary? Why do you have to question everything? Oh, I don't know about this. Just go with it, huh?
Leave me alone, Dad. I'm trying to do the best I can.
Well, first of all, you should be hanging out at a different bar from me because this is my bar. But look, we made a good living. Didn't we have a swimming pool when you were a kid?
Yeah.
An hour later, hey, man, your dad's in the bathroom making out with a waitress.
Oh, Jesus. I know I got to...
It's rough. You shouldn't go in there. I think you'll be disturbed.
I really got to go to the bathroom, though.
I told you we shouldn't hang out at this bar, man.
I know, but they have a special deal on drinks, and I'm not working. So, it's a happy hour. It's the best one in town.
Hey, look, I wasn't going to tell you this because you're such an ass about reconstruction lines.
I just don't get it.
But there's no... You gotta shut up about nothing.
I can hear you from inside the bathroom, Gary. Would you stop asking so many fucking questions?
Dad, can you please just if you and Mom should separate? I feel like every time this happens, I'm responsible for telling Mom or hiding it. Those are my two options, and it's very upsetting.
You don't even know what's going on in here right now.
We got to... The next day, it's a new steak restaurant that's opened up next to another steak restaurant. All right, so a lot of you fellows are new on this reconstruction line, but that's okay, because the whole restaurant were new. And you fella, Andrew, is that your name?
Yeah, my name's Andrew.
Okay, since it's
my name's Andrew as well.
All right, one of you got to go by Andy.
Also, we're brothers. That was our parents really screwed us.
Oh, okay. That's how you got the job, skipping the interview.
I refuse to go by Andy.
All right. It doesn't matter. You're both low status in this job. Both of you, you're in charge since it's your first day. One of you going to the dumpster next door to get the stakes that have fallen apart for us to reconstruct over here.
Is that legal? Can we just get food from the garbage and then serve it?
Yeah, it's legal.
All right.
Well, wait, is that a question? Is this your brother with all the questions?
I apologize. I'm going to go and fish out steaks that they haven't been able to sell.
Whatever, dude. Okay. Sometimes people will take one bite of a steak and they're like, it's too fatty. I don't want it. Right. There's two of them. They're like, hey, you want to share? And one of them gets a salad and they're like, oh, I decide I don't want to share. I really like this pea salad that I got. It's enough for me. You see where I'm going with this? There's a lot of big chunks of steak over there.
It seems like a very inexpensive way to make food for your restaurant, but at the same time, rather unhealthy. Suppose I was to call somewhere like the Washington Post or the Patriot Gazette, some type of newspaper that might
you
do some...
You go ahead. When we cut to these guys, they're back at their apartment. They've been pacing around their apartment, drinking beers. They got the number for the Washington Post, just working up their nerves.
Well, one of us has to call them. I mean, we have to warn the public.
But we got to come up with a good nickname for ourselves first, like Deep Throat or something like that.
Well, we're both named Andrew. We could do something on that.
Okay. How about two Andrews is not who we are?
Oh, you mean to hide who we are. I see.
Yeah, we don't want to get busted. Like Deep Throat was a guy and he called himself Deep Throat, you know, after. What if we named ourselves after another porn movie like Anal Intruder 8 or something like that?
Let's talk some more about that.
Was Deep Throat named after the porn movie Deep Throat?
I think so.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
I think it was a joke. I don't know. If we're to believe All the President's Men, it was a joke by the staff of the Washington Post.
The very witty Bob Woodward?
Correct.
Speaking of politics and newspapers... I try not to speak of politics, Brett. You know that about me. It's so boring. Who wants to hear my take? But last night with Iowa, I think after January 6th, a part of my brain just shut off Trump and just assumed that I would never, would never have to deal with him again. He would just be this fringe kind of thing you had to go follow. Mm-hmm, I really thought there'd be no fucking way that he could be our president again. I thought one of these laws he's broken has to be enough to not be able to run for president, right?
Like if he's broken laws, that makes me want to vote for him more. That firms up my vote for him going.
Okay, but that's where I'm going is like
yeah.
70% of Iowa Republicans are still okay with this guy.
Well, it's this weird thing of like, and I don't know all the percentages, but like Iowa is such a heavily evangelical state. Like that's such a strong presence in Iowa. And those people are ostensibly living by certain rules that Trump has not just not followed, but had contempt for his entire life. And yet somehow those two things are
compatible.
So
what part of what he offers do they like, Sean?
I think it's that they love how much he hates everybody. Like, I think it's people love are in this weird phase of loving to hate other people.
And DeSantis really has sad. Done his best to go, I can hate people too.
Yes, look at me over that's his here. Whole campaign is his whole gubernatorial administration, if I can use a simple phrase like that, is about who do we hate and how can we hate them more and make their lives more difficult and make them feel worse about themselves. So
do you know how many votes Asa Hutchinson got last night?
No, I know he dropped out today, but I don't know how many he got.
Do you have a guess?
I'm going to say 78.
Yeah. That you're close.
Really?
I mean, that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
He got 191 votes.
Well, here's what I was thinking about Asa Hutchinson today. He seems like, I mean, for whatever his, like, obviously there's no such thing as a decent Republican, but like, he seems like a decent human being who has done some good things.
Well, that's what made me bring him up, because he's kind of the old school Republican of like, right. I'm not going to be this outward attacking, hateful asshole. I'm just going to put my simple Republican agendas forward, and that's all you get. And it didn't work.
No.
There's this guy. Have you ever heard of Ryan Binkley?
No.
Can you go to his Twitter account, please, Brett, and find like one of those videos of him speaking? So you've never heard of Ryan Binkley, right? Mm-mm. Andy Secunda?
No, but he's got a catchy name.
Well, Ryan Binkley, he got four times the votes of Asa Hutchinson last night. He got 700 something votes. He's a pastor.
Where is he from? Is he from Iowa? I mean, why would anybody he was?
Because you said it. It's an evangelical state, and he's a pastor of something called Create Church, which sounds...
So there were people in Iowa who went, you know what? I'm not on board with how Trump violates every rule of my religion, so I'm going to throw my vote away on somebody who has never once been in the national conversation.
Isn't that weird? And a guy who has for a long time, Asa Hutchinson, they decide I'd rather have this fucking pastor than him. Don't you feel like you could get that many votes in Iowa? I feel like I could get that many votes.
I bet I could go head to head with Asa Hutchinson and get more votes than he did.
You think that's crazy, Brett?
No,
I feel like if I could get on the Republican ticket, I could get enough comedy nerd fans in the state of Iowa to reach 200.
But here's the flip side that I was thinking about.
Would you have to run on a platform that was equally aggressive to the competition?
I think just you put your name on you. I think that's like what Joe Biafra basically did for mayor in San Francisco. He just he came up with these crazy platforms.
And that's what I'm saying.
He got the third most votes. But like they were crazy. They were absurd. So it would just be, great at improv. Vote for me.
But why do you think Asa Hutchinson did this in the first? Like, I just feel like this guy had this very distinguished career where he accomplished a lot of things. And then in the last part of his life, or I don't know how long he's going to live. He's going to die tomorrow.
But, oh, no.
No, but like as he's like moved on in his career, now he has become a punchline, basically. Like he put himself in a position where he had to know going into this that there was no way he was ever going to get the nomination. So what's the upside for him? And here That's we are a on a fucking question. Improv comedy show going... He got 78 votes, you know?
It's a great question because other ones do have agendas like, this will launch me on a speaking tour.
Right,
or I can be vice president.
Yeah. Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be on Fox News in like 4 minutes or whatever.
He thinks he's going to be the vice president.
That's right? I hope that doesn't happen. I don't see how it could. Like, you know. I don't see how Biden will make him vice president when he already has Kamala Harris.
Okay, let's do something on that conversation we just had. You fellas begin.
Thanks for coming over, guys. I wanted to tell you something. I have big news, and I know you know, I know it's going to sound crazy, but you guys are my best friends, and I'm really looking for support. But I have decided to I've decided to run for president. So, well, I hope that's
Gary. You've never. I mean, I don't even know that president I've ever even had a political conversation with you. It's
president it's of little. The United States of America.
United States of America, what, sailing club?
Okay, let me lay it out as simply and clearly as I can. You know how the president lives in the White House?
Yes.
That's
with the
where
first
I'm,
lady.
That's where I'm going to hope to live, and I'm hoping to make Diane the first lady. So, are you guys? What I really need is help with my campaign.
Okay.
I mean, my first thought is interestingly, I can see Diane being the first lady. I cannot imagine
she's been involved in the PTA and the city council and involved in passing local legislation on
she got that stoplight down on Genesee, you know,
and the stop sign on Tomahawk.
I know she did all those things, and I will honestly
and the
tell
merge
you,
and the merge sign on right. Crestwood,
right?
She's very involved in traffic, but I have
and that what do they call it? Roundabout.
The roundabout.
The roundabout. Yeah. That's right. Right. She put all the speed bumps in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She got the speed limit lowered. Yeah. In addition to the speed bumps, you can only go 5 in this entire neighborhood at this point.
And she even had that catchy, you know, the catchphrase to make all this stuff happen, which was "Let's slow down progress."
Mm-hmm. But this isn't about her. It's about you running for president
of the United States.
United States.
Yeah, all 50 or 50. How many is it? It's 50, I think. Right.
When you first said it, and I thought about sailboats, because you do like hanging out
down
at this marina.
Yeah.
In my head, I thought, could he win president of the sailboat club?
Mm-hmm.
And I did a quick poll in my head, and I think you could finish a strong third. And then you said United States of America right when I was thinking sailboat club.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think I could do better than third at the marina because, you know,
really?
I know who you're.
Better than Betty Slavens?
Betty Slavens is very popular.
I think I could destroy Betty Slavens. But I also think that's thinking small, you know? I mean, I tried to discourage Diane from getting involved in all that bullshit with the roundabout and the speed bumps and this and that because who cares? That's like local crap. Like, let's think nationally. Can we get, you know, a national ban on a 5-day work week? Or is there a
ban on it?
Yeah. Is there a way to make
how many days are you hoping for?
Which direction are you going for, more or less?
I mean, part of me wants to say
so
either
you can
way
have six and think, four.
Yeah, I think that's how politics works, is you don't take a firm stand either way. You say, wouldn't it be great if we had 6 days of work a week or if we had four?
just not five.
Yeah.
Just things need to be different.
Yeah, very
I
different.
I mean, he's right. Things need,
very
need to be
different.
Different.
Are things you satisfied with the different. Way things are right now?
No, I'm unhappy.
I feel people drive too slow.
Well, that's a whole other issue, and I think that's... I could set up a subcommittee after I became president about everybody driving faster, you know? Oh,
Diane's going to be very mad about that. She's done a lot of work
like
in that direction.
And we cut to 2 months into the presidency. Congress has come to him with raising the speed limit.
Hey, guys, what's up?
You know what's up, Mr. President.
Yeah.
Every senator on both sides of the aisle agrees the speed limit should be 95 miles per fucking hour. Sorry, getting a little progressive there.
Yeah. Well, that's how politics is now. If you don't use an F word in every other sentence, you're not a real politician. You know?
Well, that's just me speaking. My brother from the other side of the aisle, if you'd like to speak, I think you agree. 95 miles an hour, right?
We are in full agreement on this. This country is slowing down, both metaphorically and literally. And we would like to aggressively increase the speed of our vehicles.
Fuck yeah, we do.
Okay. Can I make a counter proposal? Because you guys are saying you want to raise the speed limit to 95, right?
Yes, I don't like the sound of compromise, I'll tell you that.
All 51 states. What are you saying?
What if I said, how about we make the speed, what's the opposite of a limit? Minimum.
Unlimited?
A minimum.
The speed minimum 95. Like you have to go 95.
So the second you hit the freeway,
you better get that up.
We'll be reasonable. The merge lane, you can get it up to speed and not be arrested.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, people are going to say that the reason I want to do that is because my wife is involved with half the merge lane companies in the entire country. But that's not why. The reason why is because I want to get places faster.
We cut to the floor of a merge lane factory. Merge lanes are coming off the conveyor belt. All right, let's keep them going. Let's keep them. We got a VIP on the floor.
Boy, this has been really hard to keep up with this level of production on these specific merge lanes since the lobbying came through.
Whoa, Mr. President. Oh, it's good to see you. Have you ever seen the sausage getting made on merge lanes?
I did not know that there was sausage involved with merge lanes. What's your name?
My name's Steve.
That's great. That is just great.
Okay. Mr. President, I don't work at this factory, and I want to say that everything you've done is a travesty. You're clearly in the pocket of big merge lane.
I'm not in the pocket of anybody. By the way, did anybody hear gunshots?
Sorry, I was shooting and talking at the same time. I should have just done one thing. Here we go.
Oh, I thought you were being shot.
I did too.
Shocked.
I missed again. All right, I'm not a gun guy. I apologize. This is on me.
Let's talk some more about that.
Sorry, Asa Hutchinson. That's a challenge. I'll go to any state with Asa and draw more.
I think about, like, what do people say to him now? You know, like, cut to next year at Thanksgiving, right after the election, and who knows what's going to happen. But what do you say at Thanksgiving? Like, thank goodness you. I don't know. It's a weird decision to make when you're not somebody who has a chance, I think. And like you said, not positioning yourself for something else.
That you immediately go to his personal interactions at Thanksgiving.
In my head, I'm at the country club. You went way more personal to the...
I see people as people. I'm sorry.
Sean's just remembering his own experience.
I did too. It was his golfing buddies he was going to have to talk to. You saw speaking to his parents, his cousins.
I was thinking more of his kids, like, you know, who have to, like, look up to him as their parent and go, boy, you got smoked in Iowa.
Oh, man. Okay, speaking of getting smoked, and I will just admit before I give this opinion, and I've given pretty much this opinion before about in sports giving up. The last time I talked about it, I believe it was halftime when the Razorbacks were watching Polar Express, the movie, during a halftime when they were getting whooped. And I said, I don't like it when everyone hugs after the game from every team. And Ronnie Adrian pointed out, well, in basketball, you know, there's whatever, fucking 80 games. Can't be crying after every game. I get that. As I said that week, football's a little different. Every Mormon game event. Is there. Well, there's so few of them. And then right now we're in the playoffs. So did you guys see that footage of Tua and Mahomes after the game?
Mm-mm. What happened?
Brett, did you see that?
I didn't catch that. Let me find it.
You'll find it. I don't know if we'll be able to hear it. You can try to hear it. But he's asked after the game, Tua, well, Kansas City whoops Miami.
Right.
And then Tua is their quarterback. He goes up.
Taylor Swift was there, which I did not care for.
That's, she's probably behind all of this. But he goes up to Mahomes.
Is it this?
This happened last night. Yeah, that's it. If we can hear the audio. He asked for his jersey. And then Mahomes turns him down. He says, I told Reek I'd give him this one or something like that. They promised it to someone else.
And by the way, that is Reek. That is Reek from Game of Thrones that he's giving to.
Or is it is his wide receiver, Tyreek Hill? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got to give it to your wide receiver that you didn't find enough in the end zone.
I agree. That is fucking weird because what you're saying is I look up to you, which is not what you should be saying to your opponent on the football field, whether or not it's true.
Even if you said, I respect you and I look up to you, or like, hey, man, I've always loved your game. Like, that's saying I respect you.
Yeah.
And I'm... He's not that much younger. And like if it's Tom Brady and he's retiring the next year, I get everyone in the league should be like going, hey, man, you meant everything to me. I get that. Mm-hmm. This guy's only slightly older and is I'm not saying he has to cry, but you're kissing his ass.
Yeah, that's weird.
Maybe he just wants to sell the jersey. Maybe he's just got a little side gate thing there.
Well, I also think probably makes you think it's weird, Besser, that I always ask for your t-shirt after every episode of Improv for Humans that I do.
Yeah, especially over Zoom. I have to mail it to you.
just making work for him.
I guess it's done more in soccer. And why... But are those
players
like
giving
friendlies?
Each other jerseys is done more in soccer?
Yeah, but maybe that's just the friendlies, the things that don't matter. I can't imagine two foes switching jerseys at the end of a game.
But I feel like even switching jerseys is a different thing.
Because you're like, switching, right?
Yeah, you're like, this switching. Is mine, this is yours. We're equals as opposed to you're a hero of mine. Can I have your jersey? Because I want to be able to taste your sweat whenever I want to.
The game that you beat me.
Yeah.
I think Sean's also locked in on a separate possibility, which is maybe this is a kink. Maybe this is a separate thing that's happening.
I mean, I can remember games when I was in high school where, and you know, obviously high school football is very important, but it's not the same thing as the NFL. Guys would just sit in the locker room silently for like an hour and a half, and a couple of them would be crying because we lost a game against another school and of course I, like a douchebag when I was on that team, was like, what the fuck is wrong with everybody? Can't we just get out of here? But you couldn't leave, you know?
Sit there while people
all right, crying. This is what we're getting down to, Sean. It's how long... here's my opinion. You have to, after a loss, this isn't football. I'm just going by how many games you have in football. You have any sport that's 20 or less games. After a loss, you have to wait until the next morning before you can smile again. and do anything that is joyous. Like, even in you see in basketball all the time, the NBA, they will get their ass kicked, and later that night they're at a strip club in that town, partying it up, well, and they're on Instagram, and you're like, fuck, yeah, man, you just got your ass kicked.
Matt, that could just be them. You know, that's how they're dealing with the pain, you know.
I think it should be related to the score differential there. Like, if you get just
a mathematical formula.
What's the spread?
Let's cut to the locker room after loss. Okay, before everybody goes their separate ways.
Thanks, coach. Taking off.
No. I don't want us looking like assholes to the world again.
But we're going to miss
our reservation. Let's just break down what happened tonight and how long we have to not smile, celebrate, host, be shown in any kind of wardrobe that would be considered ostentatious or bright colors.
Coach, I got to be honest. I don't like that the NFL has put these new that they charge us now. Every time we smile, I don't think that's fair.
It doesn't have to be with smiles. They have a smile chart. If you guys would just look at it, it can't be a cocky smile, a smile with swag, a smile that is joyous or happy.
You know, I have nerve damage in my face. So my lips pull upwards as if I'm smiling. So I keep getting fined after every game. That's not fair.
Also here at the bottom.
Try using some of that black eye makeup that you guys are all putting under your eyes for God knows what reason and put it around the crease of your mouth. So you can't tell if you're smiling or frowning.
I think that could get you into trouble.
I don't want to hear that again.
Coach, but...
That's too much.
Stop trying to wipe it off by putting more on.
I'm telling you, this is going to be a larger problem than the smiling, guys.
Guys, it's not about the smile. It's about having a bounce in your step. It's about showing a twinkle in your eye. Just the world wants you to respect that you've lost. They just want to see a little bit of regret, remorse.
Look, we're just philosophical guys, coach. You know, we just you take the bad and then you kind of gotta move on. Minutes later, that's all.
Minutes. The NFL has given you 12 hours. Yeah. That's all. 12 hours. You can just go to your home. You guys can fucking jack off and run around like the Joker in your own house. It's just out in public for 12 hours.
Is that the big thing the Joker is known for?
Jacking off in his house, coach?
No, then I would have said run around like the Joker at his house. I said jacking off and run around like the Joker at his house.
Two separate thoughts. I got it. Well, I guess I would just say I feel restricted by my expression. My job is to deliver on the field. It is not my behavior after the game is over.
If the chef burnt a steak at the steak restaurant, he wouldn't come out into the restaurant where all the patrons are and start high-fiving everybody and laughing it up. He would go to that table and he would apologize. He would say, I'm sorry I burnt the steak.
And then he would throw that steak in the dumpster and the next door restaurant would fish it out and serve it the next day as a reconstructed steak.
Yeah, I saw that on 2020 last night. That shit is crazy what they're doing out there.
Real upset.
Anytime you see one kind of restaurant open up next to another restaurant and they sell the same thing, one of them's reconstructing the other one's food.
You know what really bums me out is that the night before a game, coach, you were watching 2020 instead of game film.
Oh, good point. Good point, buddy.
But I was doing it in my motel room. I wasn't doing it out in the lobby of the hotel. It's about your. We cut to these guys. They're walking down the street, making a. They're walking down Times Square where there's all these barkers trying to convince them to come into different places. Come on in to the M&M store.
5 bags of M&M for the price of 1. Come on in, fellas. You like M&Ms?
Whoa, 5 bags for the price of 1. Should we go in there?
I mean, that's a good deal, but isn't it likely we're going to, the paparazzi are going to snap us having fun and eating that's M&Ms? True. And
that is
just
true.
Having a great time. I mean, once I get an M&M, bag of M&Ms, there is no stopping my joy.
Right, especially 5 bags. It would just be nuts.
Come on in, fellas. Come on in. You don't have to buy anything. Just give it a, if you've never been in here, we got all size M&Ms. We got giant bags. We have the world's largest M&M on the third floor.
This is like
floor.
The little sexy M&M lady. You can eat right
they start
out of the
taking,
top of her
they
head.
Start taking selfies with this giant M&M lady, and then they see that people in the streets are taking pictures of them. Yeah, they're from the NBA team. Look at them. I think they lost tonight. You guys enjoying those M&Ms?
Hey, why don't you leave us alone? We're not interested in having our photos taken by the public.
Why don't you grab a big handful of rebounds instead of a big handful of M&Ms?
This isn't a happy smile. This is a wistful smile. Like kind of like, oh, I'm sort of sad about what happened earlier tonight in the game.
You shouldn't be eating any kind of fucking candy. You should be home fucking eating carrots. Doing push-ups and looking over your game film, asshole.
Like the Joker?
You really have extensive plans for us, sir.
That's what you should do instead of out celebrating eating M&Ms.
Oh, really? How is that going to change what happened prior to this? Isn't life point. About looking forward, not backward?
Look.
But in order to do better as and grow forward, you have to learn from what you did backward.
Hey, that's right. I like how you said that.
I'm going to buy a t-shirt with that on there.
Hey, you better give me some of that.
You guys all seem like you're in the same group. I'm not buying that you're supporting each other's opinions. And I'll tell you something else.
What's wrong with being in the same group? We're all tourists in fucking Times Square. Why don't you guys play in the same group and play as a team for once?
You that's really set point. Him up for that, yeah.
Here's my
point, my man.
Here's my opinion. Just take a look at the overview. If Jesus decides who wins the game, then Jesus also decides who loses the game. So maybe we're just happy because we have done Jesus' will by embarrassing ourselves out there.
What's all this Jesus talk?
Yeah,
New
man.
York
please
City.
Don't bring the Jesus shit into it again. Like, we're in an M&M store. Shit.
That yeah. seems it's very strong. I'm a Christian.
And the next
person.
Day before the game, they're watching the clip of that video that's playing on TMZ. Oh, man.
Why'd you do that? You went to an M&M store and started preaching about Jesus?
I got to say, guys, I told you just go back to the hotel, get some sleep, and you went to an M&M store and started proselytizing?
Coach, can I ask why we're watching TMZ when we have a game in 20 minutes?
Because I'm mad about what you guys did last night.
It does feel like our priorities, the problems start at the top, Coach.
All right, you're right. We should stick to the game plan. So he sticks the game plan. They look up the chalkboard, and it is actually an amazing game plan to beat the New York Knicks that night. In
Whoa,
Madison
that's
Square
an amazing
Garden.
Game plan.
Yeah, I went back to the hotel and I worked on this all night. And you know what? At some points, I kind of got my sweet tooth going. I was like, sure, we'd like to step out. Get me some fucking M&Ms. But I didn't. I stayed in the hotel room, came up with this plan. And I think if we stick to this plan, we can beat the Knicks tonight.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Sometimes when you have a goal in mind and you're distracted by temptation, after you get to the point where you've moved forward, you're like, damn, I should have gone to the M&M store. That would have been fun, and I would have gotten to eat some M&Ms.
Coach, I should let you know that I gave front row tickets, courtside tickets, to the to my new girlfriend, the sexy M&M lady. So she might be a little distracting. I mean, obviously, it's just a lady in a costume, but she will be in costume.
And indeed, she was distracting, but they won that game, and then they went on this streak of just winning games, and they were way out of even making the playoffs, but they just went on this streak, and they somehow got to the playoffs, and they were the hot it team of the nation, and we cut to
They've come around again to play New York again. If they win this game, they'll be the number one seed in the playoffs. And now Taylor Swift has joined the sexy Eminem lady on the sidelines. They're doing a little funny, sexy dance to show the support. Wow, check it out. Your girlfriend's out there hanging out with Taylor Swift. All right, guys. All right. I don't want just talking about Taylor Swift and the sexy Eminem lady. We got to focus on this game tonight.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
I know the game starts in 20 minutes, but I think I can get to Times Square and grab some M&Ms and get back by the time the game starts. Is that okay?
That is not okay. This is the time when we're supposed to be looking over my plan I came up with in the hotel last night. God damn you guys. I told you, stop looking at the sexy, sexy M&M lady.
It's hard, coach. She's very sexy.
Hey, listen, can you get your girlfriend out of the locker room, please?
This isn't fair, coach. This is my relationship with the sexy M&M lady off the court is separate from this. And I
know,
like,
but she shouldn't be in our locker room. So he starts to escort her back to
what
her,
are you doing? Why are you moving me like this?
I'm sorry. The coach doesn't want you around, and she says it's a distraction from the game.
And she bumps all sorts of people. Hey, watch it. Oh, your hard shell.
You're pushing me too hard. No, I know what's not happening for you tonight after the game.
Oh, please don't punish me. Personally, it's not fair. It's and about the game.
They
even
start
though
to,
I agree
they, she
with
looks
you.
Into his eyes and they start to make out in a hallway.
Hey, get a room.
You're so sensual and delicious.
He comes back to the locker room and he has yellow chocolate all over his face.
What's up, guys? Why is everybody looking at me that way? What's
God wrong? Damn it. I know what you've been up to. All right. We don't have time to bicker. You guys got to get out there. Okay. What's the name of our team?
The Orlando Bulls. Magic.
Orlando Magic. That's right. I used to coach the Bulls. Magic on three. One, two, three. Magic! Magic! Yeah, we cut two. There's a minute left in the game. The score is tied. The sexy M&M lady is going crazy, a little too crazy. Like when certain people, like Kardashians, they start to make the game about themselves. Okay, guys, just check out this play on my clipboard here. Take it in, and we just run a screen. Hey,
look,
can you
at me,
pay
I'm
attention?
In the first row. I'm in the first row. Look at me. I'm wearing my shell. My hard candy shell. Look at me.
Guys, focus on the play, not his sexy M&M girlfriend.
There's no reason to look at her. She has nothing to do with the game. It is not her fault.
I'm having such a good time. Look, I'm next to Spike Lee.
I understand that maybe this is on me for bringing an anthropomorphized sexy version of a candy to this game. But it still has nothing to do with the game.
Nah, it's not your fault. It's your girlfriend. You love her. I'm on the rest of the guys. They need to focus up. I know you love her.
Thank you. Thank you, coach. I really appreciate that.
Coach, what play are we running? Coach, what play are we running? We got to win this game.
The Statue of Liberty.
Okay, I can do that.
Isn't that more of a gimmick kind of than a play, coach?
If you guys had focused. So they go in there and they run the Statue of Liberty. And it gets passed to the center. In the center, he goes back like he's going to pass it with one hand. But then someone jumps up and takes the ball from the center and they go around the right instead of the left and they shoot and they get blocked and we cut to the locker room where this is their first loss in like 12 games and they're
my sexy M&M girlfriend already broke up with me.
I don't think that's that bad because all I could think when we were doing the Statue of Liberty play was how I would like to have a threesome with the M&M girl and the Statue of Liberty. So I think I'm going to try to make that happen.
human, to unlock the bonus scene, you must subscribe to the ad-free version of the show, exclusively available at improvforhumans.com.
Sean, Andrew, tell us about your co-pilot podcast.
Andy?
We have a new podcast where we cover TV pilots, the bad ones, the good ones, the failed ones that didn't go anywhere. And we have fellow comedians and TV writers and people talking about each pilot. And we break them down kind of act by act and share.
Now, when it's one that you say didn't go anywhere, does that mean it's a friend of yours that brought in one they sold to a network, but it was never made and you read it?
We're open to that. It's really just like stuff like Heat Vision and Jack, or there's one we covered called Paczynski that was basically this insane pilot that was Peter Boyle. It's a half hour, gets killed as a cop. He gets killed, comes back immediately as a dog, and then continues to be a cop.
And what a dog it was, because there was like a variety of animatronic and puppet dogs that they used to be Peter Boyle.
All terrible. Each one more terrible than the last. And so, like, that's another example of stuff we would cover.
But the way I understand it is you guys are breaking down how to make a pilot and getting into... This isn't about failure sitcoms. It is more about how a good pilot is made, right? No? Am I wrong?
No. It's definitely not just about failed shows. And we do talk a lot about what works and what doesn't work in a pilot. I mean, there's lots of things that are common to pilots. And it's interesting to see the ones that execute those things well versus the ones that don't do it well. But then there's also the idea that some of these premises are just absurd. You know,
they don't have legs.
Yeah.
It's like, that seems just like a sketch, if that. Or maybe even a movie.
Not a TV show. That's another question we have, is like, when we see a pilot like that. Like, Alf theoretically is just as, not as insane, but almost as insane as the Paczynski concept, but that went forever, so... It's interesting to analyze what succeeds and what doesn't. Saying it doesn't, not seem.
I think Alf has legs.
What's?
I do, though.
But you never see his legs. Yeah, he's a Muppet.
Never see his legs. Yeah.
I think we need another alien lives among us. I think that's fun. So we on Improv for Humans Behind the Paywall, we do get into the how-tos and the nitty-gritties and the making the sausage of the comedy and paying respects to good comedy, including a show called Greatest Comedy of All Time, where Norman Lear just passed away and we're about to do a show covering him. I've been watching a lot of his old shows. Oh my God. They so hold up, like the comedy of them is still makes me laugh. Then Tommy Smothers just passed away, and I'm a huge Smothers Brothers fan. Who did you guys, did you cry? Oh, you didn't watch it, but did you watch the In Memoriam?
I didn't see it, no.
Yeah.
Brett, who made you cry? Any of them? You stone cold through the whole...
I didn't cry. I was,
I didn't cry. I didn't cry.
Brett doesn't have a real cry vibe.
The craziest thing, not to derail this, about the Emmys last night, that they did a little segment. It was not In Memoriam, but it was like a tribute to the TV that changed our lives.
TV memories, and there was only like 12 memories.
And one of them was 9/11. That was the craziest part to me. It was all like Golden Girls and the first episode of The Simpsons, and then I Love Lucy, and then they just...
There was
9/11, the news event of 9/11 in there.
And there were so few. I was struck by that same segment of like, that's it? Those 12 segments define the history of TV? That's a weird
Did one of the newscasters category. That, one of the newscasters that reported on 9/11 come up breathlessly to receive an award and thank people and
Also, is that just going to feed into the idea that 9/11 was not real? It just happened.
Yeah,
on
it was produced.
Great special effects. All right, humans. But that's what I'm saying. We love Comedy Beat at improperhumans.com. So get a full year subscription to support Improper Humans and the improvisers that we have on. And do go check out and listen to their podcast as well. And keep being human.
Improv for Humans is produced by Matt Besser and Brett Morris. Please rate and review wherever you get your podcasts. For ad-free archives, bonus scenes from the new episodes, exclusive Discord access, new deep dive podcasts into the craft of improv, plus music and sci-fi bonus shows and premium limited series. Go to improvforhumans.com and sign up for the Roll of Four plan. Only $4 a month, or $40 a year. By subscribing, you are giving us the ability to pay our brilliant guests, and giving us all a platform for more interaction, and lots more comedy.